Thank you for tuning in to the WEEM Weekly Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast produced by 91.7 WEEM to share with you all about what is going on around our school and community. You can find present and future episodes of this podcast at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.
Hi, welcome to WEEM Weekly. I'm Ethan Lincoln, and I am here with Parker Dean.
Yeah, so how's it going this morning?
It is going good. I have a couple questions for you.
All right. Sounds good.
What are some of the things you learn in agriculture?
You know, agriculture as a is a broad topic to me. It always has been because, like, there's agriculture and then there's, like, horses, animals, goats, sheep, and concrete, welding, like, all that is agriculture. I mean, to farming, to learning how to judge animals. So agriculture to me is really all about what outside or how things tie, like farming. How does farming tie to animals and how does animals tie to us for like food and stuff like that? So, you know, it's interesting because agriculture is a really big topic to get into.
Is there anything that you do in like agriculture and the FFA part of the school outside of school?
So I am the FFA president for our chapter. And so my advisor is Holly Williams, Mrs. Williams, as we call her. But she has been my ag teacher since I was a freshman in high school. So I've been in FFA 4 years. And so for FFA itself, I've done horticulture, which is identifying plants. We had a competition this past Saturday about that. And you identify flowers, fruits and nuts, vegetables, ornamentals, which are known as trees, if you're, you know, if you're anything like me anyway. But so I've done that. I've participated in district contest, which is there's a lot of different categories in there, which is like ag power, like electricity, ag business, ag science. I usually do the horticulture round since I've done plants a lot. So I've done like how to make a composter and all that. So I've done that for 2 years in that competition. Not horse judging. We do have horse judging, but I participate in livestock judging, and that is where they set out for like cows, pigs, goats, whatever, and that you have to judge them from like one to the worst. So they're labeled, and you just label them what you think they're structurally like. And so I've done that for 2 years. I've took a break in between that, so there was a 1 year that I didn't do it. So I've done a lot of stuff in FFA, and it's exciting for this year.
How do you become the student president for the FFA?
So, you know, the last 2 years we've had a different voting process. Last year for last year when we did our voting process, we voted for who we think was the president, the vice president, the treasurer, the secretary, the reporter, and the sentinel. There's a lot of officers in there. But for this year, I became the president. We made a slate. My advisor, Mrs. Williams, made a slate, and we decided to keep the slate as it was or to change the slate. And she ranked, I am the highest experience, I guess I should say, as like, because I was the treasurer last year. And so this year I'm the president. So she made the slate and we voted on if we wanted to keep that slate or change the slate. And we decided to keep the slate. So I am the president and I got installed at the end of the year for a banquet.
So now that like we kind of know how you became the student president, what do you do as the student president?
So for the student president, we have meetings every other Wednesday. And so in those meetings, we just like discuss our events that were coming up, parties that we're doing, contests that might be coming up. And so as the president, I lead the meetings. So once everyone's in the classroom, because we meet in the agriculture classroom, in the high school. And so I lead the meeting and tell like what's all going on, what's contest coming up, stuff like that.
Do you participate in any other after school activities?
So I spend most of my time in FFA since I've been in it for 4 years. But after school activities, I do have to say our high school has a bowling team. I've been bowling for a long time, for, I don't know, as soon as I could probably be able to walk is how long I've been bowling. And so we do have a high school bowling team, and the competition starts this October 14th. And so that's what I usually do out of school.
All right. Are there any events that you're looking forward to as are coming up?
So Holder Culture is always the competition that like first starts the series, but I'm really excited for district contest. I'm already planning that in the mix, which like I said, is like you pick a category and you do like a project or demonstration as they recommend that you do. And so I'll probably do that. Livestock is always fun. You get to go to little farms and stuff like that, even though it's a stressful, like, competition, but if you know what you're doing and give the time to learn that, it's not that bad. So I'd have to say livestock and district contest.
How many other people are involved in making decisions?
So like I said earlier, I'm the president. Then we have the vice president, the secretary, the reporter, the treasurer, the sentinel, and the reporter, just as we don't have a reporter this year. She moved. And so that spot is open, which we probably won't elect anybody else. But the vice president, let's say if I'm gone from like a meeting and won't be able to make it, she can step up and lead the meeting. And because she already knows what's going on. If we did have a reporter, it would make the list of like what we would say during the meeting. The sentinel is the person who stands by the door, greets the people saying, welcome, here you go. And I think this year as a whole, I think we work as a team together because we have a officers meeting before we actually have the group meeting. So we sort of just collaborate together and say, this is what we're going to do and we're going to work on.
What kind of decisions do you make?
So the big decision I would say that as a whole that I would make is what our chapter goal is this year. And so I'd have to say all the officers have agreed on making a goal where we make sure that every member feels welcome. I think that's a big thing for our chapter, because for the past 3 years, we've started out with maybe 30 people coming in the group and joining and then leaving. And so I wanted to make sure there's 30 people that would come would stay because they feel welcome and they feel like they belong there.
How do you make the decisions? Like, make them official?
So once we at our officers meeting, we will sit down and our advisor, Mrs. Williams, will have the slot ready to go. And what we do is we'll say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And so she, at the beginning of our year, the officers came together and we were like, because our first meeting is huge, because if we have new members coming in, we want them to know what FFA is. They want to feel welcome. You know, the first meeting is huge because that's our first like, here, come join us, you know? And so we sit down and we discuss like what activities we're going to say that we're going to plan for the year. Like fall parties, all that, winter parties, Christmas parties, Thanksgiving parties. Yeah, I don't even know how many parties we have. But for that, we sit down with her and we discuss what we want. And then she can recommend stuff that she likes. And we sort of just merge together.
How does someone join the FFA here at school?
So you can talk to any of the officers, me, the vice president. I just interviewed the vice president earlier, so she will probably be linked in this interview somewhere. But so how to join, you could reach out to any of the officers. We have our social media. We have Instagram and Facebook. We have Twitter, but we're not really active on that. If you're really wanting to like get into it right away, you can go to Mrs. Williams' class. She's in the ag hallway, like the tech and ag hallway. You can go over there. She'd be gladly to help help with anything that you would need. So really, it's just if you want to join, just reach out to one of us and we'd be gladly to help.
What do you think the future of farming looks like?
So that's an interesting question because, you know, the future of farming right now, it's booming. And that's, you know, it always has. Having all that stuff like continue active because, you know, the farmers are making the corn. And I know that sounds like simple, but like if they don't make the corn, then they don't have animal food to feed the animals. And so like having that farming industry is crucial to have like everything. And farming industry itself, you know, there's like the farmers and then you got the mechanics to work on those tractors and the, you know, the companies to sell those tractors. And so it just like I said earlier, agriculture is bigger than you would really think it would be.
Do you work with any actual farmers outside of school?
So right now, we do have, for our homecoming float parade that we attended this year, we have a farm down the road that lends us the trailer for to have to decorate and have the float on. And so we have him. And then for our livestock coaching, Mitchell Smith and Corey Edge. Mitchell Smith works with Smith Family Farms right down the road, and Corey's like their neighbor. And so they help out tremendously as they coach the livestock team, and they've done that for quite a few years. And so they're really good at what they do. They bring the knowledge to us so we can perform well in competitions.
That's all the questions I have for you. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, like I said, you know, you can reach out to any of us. I'm Parker Dean. You can reach out to Mrs. Williams. You can reach out to Helena Pauly, which is our vice president. You can reach out to Talent Cooper. You know, a lot of people around are in FFA, so we're not too hard to find. So, yeah.
I guess that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Are you ready?
Let's go. Turn it up.
Have you ever wanted to listen to 91.7 WEEM on your phone, but don't have internet connection?
Try out our new app. It's called 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome, listeners. I'm Layla King, and I'm here interviewing one of my best friends, actually, M. Hall, for our little FFA agriculture little thingy. So to start off, what do you do in FFA? Like
in terms of just like, in placement? FFA, I am the secretary. Mm-hmm. So I take notes on all the meetings and stuff like that. And I also do horse judging. I compete with our horse judging team. And last year we went to state and I got 14th, I think, in the state. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty fun.
Oh.
And I go to some of the parties.
Oh, yeah. I'm also a part of FFA. So, yeah, we go to the parties together because we're so silly and so boss. And that does answer my next question, which was, do you participate in any other FFA activities besides your expected jobs? Which we do. We go to parties.
Yeah. Sometimes we go to parties. Sometimes we have movie nights.
Oh, yeah.
My freshman year, we had movie nights, and I went to a lot of those. So that was fun.
Okay. And then what do you, like, how do you, what's the process in, like, picking a horse to show it or like whatever, do you know?
Picking a horse to show?
Yeah.
It's,
you're so silly. What?
You just, well, the way we do it for the state is that people come in, they volunteer, and mm-hmm. they bring in horses from their farms. So some of the horses are really good and some of them are not.
yeah. Expected.
Yeah. They're just like backyard horses.
Oh, okay.
At the national level, the horses are usually pretty good.
What makes a good horse?
A good horse. Yeah. It depends on what you're judging on.
Oh.
But usually conformation is a really big part of that. So how their bones are.
Oh.
You don't want one with like really bad legs or something.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so silly.
That's not ideal.
No bad bones.
No. But no horse is perfect. So you can also judge on behavior. Some horses are very feisty, and some of them are a lot better behaved. So in some of the riding classes that we'll judge with horse judging, mm-hmm. you judge more on the horse's behavior and how the rider is treating them, and less on how their bones.
Oh, so the rider also gets judged too? That's so silly. I didn't know that either. Wow. Yes. I just learned so many new things. But, and so would you say you enjoy horse judging? You like it a lot?
I do like horse judging. I started it freshman year and I've done it every year since. And I just keep getting better, which is probably expected.
So you've been judging for 3 years?
3 years now, mm-hmm. yeah.
That answers my next question. Wow, you're so good at this. And then how long have you been riding horses in general?
I've been riding horses, I want to say, for 7 or 8 years.
That's a long time. It's almost as long as our friendship.
Yeah. I started in second or third grade. I can't remember.
That's crazy. That's a long time.
And I didn't, like, my family didn't have horses. No one had horses. But I got, like, horse lessons for my birthday.
Oh.
And
just on a whim. Did you show any interest at all?
Well, yeah. We went to, like, those trail riding places, you know. Yeah, like, once a year.
Oh, and you were just like, horse.
Yeah.
Heart emoji.
Yeah. So then my parents got me horse lessons for my birthday for like a month. And then we just kept getting them. And then after a while we stopped and I just, trained myself from that point on mostly.
You're so silly for that.
I'm not like the most formal rider, I would say, but mm-hmm.
you're still silly and boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. So true. Would you say that it takes a lot to just like take care of a horse, which I'm pretty sure that it does.
Yes. It's expensive. It also takes like a ton of energy, to take care of them because you have to pay for like 3 different types of feed.
Oh,
like they have to have grass and they have to have hay and they have to have grain. And then they also have to have, stalls if the weather's bad.
Oh yeah.
And then you have to like clean the stalls and clean the horse. And you have to, you know, ride the horse and train the horse and keep them fit and stuff. And then even after all that, they'll go out in the field and like hurt their ankle or something.
Bruh. They're like, so silly for that.
My mom's horse yesterday just went out in the field and like poked his eye on something.
Oh.
And now it's like swollen.
Little guy.
You might have to go see the vet. So
what the heck, bro?
Yeah.
So overall, it takes a lot of time and a lot of money, it seems like.
Yes.
They do look just like very expensive guys. They look expensive.
Yeah.
Like even, they seem expensive.
Even the cheap ones, like you have to get their shots and you have to pay for their tack
mm-hmm.
and a place for them to stay and food and all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're getting a little personal. What are your horses' names?
Okay. My mom has 2 horses. Molly and Merlin.
That's such a good name, Merlin.
Merlin's the one that poked his eye.
Oh, Merlin.
Yeah. I ride a horse named Daisy, which I've been riding since whenever I started riding. So we've just kind of like grown together. It's been very fun.
Little Daisy.
And then the barn where I go to has a couple others. They have little sister. They have Brenda. And then Krista, who doesn't live there, but he's owned by them.
Mm. Okay, so, and then would you say that, what's your favorite part about just horse judging?
My favorite part about horse judging is just getting to, like, compete, and rank them. I love ranking the horses because the way that horse judging works is you go in a, like, you have a class, and that's 4 horses,
mm-hmm.
and then you judge them for maybe 10 minutes and then rank them like 1, 2, 3, 4 and put them like best to worst.
Oh.
Yeah. So I usually do really, really well on just putting them in order, but then you also have to write out reasons for it.
Oh.
And then you have to memorize the reasons.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like intuition. Sometimes you just know that they're not that good.
Yeah. So my reasons are always kind of lacking because I'm not very good at memorizing stuff.
Oh.
But,
I didn't know you even had to memorize. Right. Why do you have to memorize it? Why can't you just?
I don't know. Part of the fun. Part of the competition.
I thought it was silly. Just be like, oh yeah, you have to memorize all this because it's silly and fun.
Yeah. It's like a 3 or 4 paragraphs that you write ranking these horses.
I thought it was just like, one sentence. Oh, this horse just wasn't
No, you got to go into real detail.
Oh.
talk about like all the different things. You have to take notes while you're ranking them. So
that reminds me of the TED Talks we had to do in seventh grade when we had to memorize. Yeah. Oh my God.
I remember those. Those were rough.
You thought you'd be good at it, but then.
Yeah. Oh, that was not good.
Oh, so not silly. But anyway, thank you for being here and doing us a little interview for us, a little thing.
Thank you for having me.
Yay.
Need a pick-me-up on the way to school or work?
Join the WEEM Morning Show in the conversation every Tuesday through Friday from 5 to 7 a.m.
on 91.7 WEEM.
You are listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. My name is Dylan Brown, and today I am joined by Mrs. Williams to talk a little bit about agriculture. So my first question is, why did you want to become an agriculture teacher in the first place?
So as a junior in high school, I was working on an FFA application in my ag teacher's room. And one of the questions was what your future plans were. And at that time, I actually had no idea. So I kind of looked around the room and thought, you know, this would be fun. Like, I've enjoyed being in agriculture classes. My FFA advisor, Mr. Joe McCain at Greenfield Central at the time, he made such a huge impact in my life. And so I decided that that was something that I wanted to do so that I could have that impact on future students. And it was a way to kind of give back to an organization through the FFA that gave me so much and allowed me to make lifelong connections. And so it kind of started from there as a junior in high school.
Yeah. Why do you think you became so attached to agriculture versus other activities?
Well, growing up, my grandparents were involved in production agriculture. And so in third grade, I started in the 4-H program. And so I was actually the fourth generation in my family to actually show the breed of sheep that we have. And now my kids are the fifth. And so I've just always had that connection to agriculture. It's something that my family's always kind of been around and a part of. And it's something that we're really proud of. And so to me, it was kind of a no-brainer to want to be a part of the agriculture industry in some way, shape, or form. And so I think that through education side of it, I'm still a part of the agriculture industry, and I get to kind of help kids find their passion as they move forward.
Awesome. What kind of things do you teach in your class?
So I am very lucky that I get a very diverse schedule. And so normally I have students come in as freshmen taking the principles of agriculture class. And in that class, we just kind of hit on a lot of different areas of agriculture.
Like so the basics?
Just the basics of like animal science, plant and soil science, different things like that. So then the kids can decide what class they want to take after that. Mm-hmm. And so I have quite a few kids that decide to take the Ag Power and Structure Technology class. And in that class, we learn about concrete, electricity, and then we weld in the spring. I also have an animal science class. We have a horticulture class and an advanced plant and soil science class that allows us to use the school's greenhouse. And so I just get to teach so many different things. And so it's really a great way that kids can kind of figure out what are they more passionate about. You know, they want hands-on, but what is it in the hands-on that they want? Do they want to learn more about animals, plants, or are they more on that mechanical side of things?
Yeah. How important do you think at least a basic knowledge of agriculture is?
I think it's extremely important to have that baseline understanding of what the agriculture industry is. Here in the United States, 2% of the population are involved in the production agriculture area. And so what that means is that the vast majority of us don't actually know where our food comes from. Mm-hmm. But with a baseline understanding of agriculture, we can understand what the farmers and producers are doing to give us a safe food product. Yeah. And then what it means when we go to the grocery store and there's certain labels on food, what does that mean? And so we all want our food to be safe. And that's the number one concern of our producers and our farmers out there. And our USDA and our FDA is we want everything to be safe. And yeah. So we as consumers need to understand that there are things going on behind the scenes to keep us safe. And when there's a food recall, it doesn't mean that like all of our food is unsafe. It means that there was something wrong with that product. They identified it and they're doing the best they can to correct the issue. And I think just having that understanding of where your food comes from is extremely important.
Yeah. So when you're buying your own food, what like labels or things do you look for to make sure it's like actually well-made food?
I try and buy everything that is made in the United States. Number one. Number two, I try and shop local when I can. So whether that's fresh produce or fresh meats. And then from there, I just try and make sure it's something that one, my kids will eat. My kids are 2 and 5. And so they really like fruits and vegetables. And knowing that we can have fresh fruits and vegetables throughout the year is huge. So, you know, sometimes we do need to import and we need some of those extra industries to come in from outside the United States. But I really try and find everything that's produced by the American farmer.
Yeah. Awesome. How long have you been teaching?
So this is my 12th year at Pendleton Heights. Prior to coming here, I spent 1 year at Delta High School in the ag position there as well. I was one of 2 ag teachers at Delta. And then this job came available. And so I came here in the fall of 2011.
Awesome. So have you been teaching about agriculture the entire time you've been teaching?
I have always been an agriculture teacher. Yep.
Awesome. What is one thing that you would want people to know about agriculture above all else?
I think a lot of times they see agriculture as just the farmers in the field. And that it's extremely important because without it, we wouldn't have our food, we wouldn't have our clothing, and we wouldn't have some of our fuels. But I think what's important is that we look beyond that because agriculture is food scientists, it's our veterinarians, it's our plant scientists and plant geneticists, and it's all these other different careers that fall under that umbrella of the agriculture industry.
Yeah.
And I think once we get past that kind of stereotype of the farmer in, you know, overall standing in the field, we see just how much science is behind it and how many people have a passion for the science. And a lot of times they end up someplace in the agriculture industry with just a science background. And I think getting past that stereotype is the most important thing.
Do you think it's important for people to learn about agriculture when they're younger, like say in middle school?
So I do. So like I said, my kids are 2 and 5 and we try and expose them to as much different types of agriculture as we can so that they have an appreciation for the industry that it is. I'm lucky that I get a set of students at the middle school. I have a semester class over there. So I get 2 sets of kids and I get to introduce agriculture as the 8th grade level. Mm-hmm. So the younger we can introduce that and let them know the options that they have, the better. And even if it's just making them better consumers or better citizens or whatever it is, I think that that's really important that we expose them as early as possible.
Yeah. Do you often see your former students like using what you taught them in the real world?
I do. And sometimes it's stuff that comes up years later. Yeah. It's kids that maybe we've had in class and they didn't know what they wanted to do and they end up becoming welders. Or I have students in the animal science industry or working at the Board of Animal Health. And I have a former student who's pursuing a PhD right now in some different animal science sectors. And so it's things that at the time they were like, yeah, okay. But it never hurts to get that text from a kid in college. It's like, hey, remember when we did this? Like, that's what we talked about today in class. And so sometimes it takes a little bit, but eventually they do use those skills sometimes.
Is it gratifying to get those kind of texts?
It really is, especially when they're like, A, they remembered it and they were like, hey, I got the highest score on this because I already knew this. And sometimes it's a simple thing of like, hey, I turned or I changed out my light switch in my house because we did electricity and ag power class. So I think it's just I think it's the reason why we all do this job.
Yeah. So obviously that's probably a very good part of the job. What is your favorite part of teaching the agriculture class?
My favorite part is probably the diversity of our students and who I get to see each day. And they come from all different backgrounds. And some kids had no idea why they were in the class. Maybe it's because they didn't submit a schedule or whatever it was. And so it's really nice to get to see some of that. And when the passion does come through of that, the other thing that's really great about my job is I get to see them from either an 8th grade or a freshman all the way up to a senior. So whether that's in class or through the FFA chapter. And so that's really the best part is seeing the growth and how much they mature and change and how much time that we spend in each other's lives.
Yeah. What is the hardest part of teaching the class?
I think the hardest part is getting over that stereotype that you have to live on the farm to be in agriculture. And then from there, I think for me, it's just keeping up to date on all the constant changes in the agriculture industry, the technology and the innovation that makes the agriculture industry what it is. It changes on a day-to-day basis. And so even just current events on it, like prices and inflation and what's going on in just different segments of the agriculture industry, that's kind of the hardest part. And so it's something that we're always working on.
Yeah. Is it difficult to teach a class that has so much real life applications?
It can be. The hands-on portion of it can be daunting, especially when you have larger classes, because at the end of the day, there's one teacher in there, and everyone's kind of working on at sometimes their own pace, and they're all on different things. And so being well-versed and knowing how to help each and every kid is sometimes very daunting and very overwhelming at times. But I think that if we all have a little bit of patience and we keep in mind what we're doing, that's kind of the best part, and knowing like what the end goal is. And so I just try and keep that in mind as we try and get as many hands-on activities as possible.
Well, that leads me into my next question. Do you have any like hands-on real world projects that you guys do in the class?
So we, through my plant and soil science class or through my horticulture class, we will start seeds and we grow those. Typically, it's whatever the kids have an interest in. And a lot of times they take those home for their garden or their houses, depending on what they want to grow. From there, we typically also do certain welding projects that the kids can get experience on, whether it's painting, grinding down welds, whatever it is. So we try and do that. And then in my animal science class, we try and take a hands-on approach depending on which animal science class it is. And so we try and do things like giving shots or drawing blood or different things like that, so that we can kind of be tailored to some of those kids who might be thinking of a veterinarian career in the future. My principal's class, we take soil samples and we learn textures of soil, and that comes into play whether you want to build a house or you want to try and grow something in the garden one day, or you can't figure out why your grass is growing. So we try and make our hands-on activities as practical as possible.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I have for you today. Thank you so much for being on here with me.
Thanks for having me.
The 91.7 WEEM app can be found on both Android and Apple phones' app stores for free.
Welcome back to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. My name is Dylan Brown, and I am here for a very special interview with Sergeant Scott Keegan for our bi-weekly update. I am very glad to have you with us today. We are getting into the harvest season soon. Do you have any tips or advice on how to navigate around the farm equipment?
Absolutely. So again, the Indiana State Police wants to caution drivers that farmers will be out harvesting their fields in the next few weeks here. We want to remind listeners that the large, heavy equipment will be traveling on roadways, and that may impede traffic a little bit. We kind of just want to let your listeners know that let's remain patient while we're out there. Again, we want to give ourselves more time to get to our destinations, and maybe even seek alternate routes. Some of the tips for the farmers is to remember that you need to have all your lighting illuminated while you're traveling. Also, if you're traveling less than 25 miles an hour, you need to have a slow-moving vehicle placard affixed to your tractor. Again, to the farmers, let's not try to not move or move your equipment during rush hour or utilizing U.S. or state roads. We try to keep them on the county roads. Again, if the equipment is moving along the roadway and you notice that you have three or four more vehicles behind you, try to yield over to the right so they can get around. Some tips for motorists. Again, we want you to be patient. Remember that you would avoid passing slow-moving vehicles on a no-passing zone or anywhere 100 feet near an intersection or an overpass.
Do you have any tips for new drivers that have never driven around these types of vehicles before?
Again, the biggest thing I want to remind new drivers is these farm equipments are rather large. So again, they may take up more than just their side of the roadway. So you might have to get over into the grass a little bit to let them go by. Again, we want to share the roadway because, you know, farming is very important in our day-to-day lives. And we need to, again, just be good stewards of the roadway and share those with those large implement equipment. So one of the also things that we want to remind listeners is sometimes those farm equipment need to get around obstacles that are on the side of the road. So they may have to come over into your lane. Again, just be patient, move over and give them some room. Talking to local farmers, they tell me that this is the most dangerous time during their job, in a sense, and that surprises me with these farmers dealing with large equipment and I would assume dangerous things, that they think that this is the most dangerous part of their job is moving equipment from field to field. Again, new drivers, let's also just remember not to tailgate. Sometimes these equipment need to make a sudden stop, and again, going back to when we're passing, Make sure that the implement isn't making a left turn when you start to pass, because again, that's where new drivers get into some issues, because they think that they're going to go around and all of a sudden that tractor makes a turn and then we have a crash. But again, just the biggest thing to remember is just give yourself plenty of time and be patient. Also, tips for farmers: when you're on the side of the road, make sure that your equipment is illuminated, especially at night. And make sure you use caution when you're walking around your equipment if it's on the side of the road, and make sure that is all the way off the road. If it's not able to be all the way off the road, then you illuminate with your lights to allow drivers to know that you're there.
Is there anywhere that new drivers can find more information about all this?
Absolutely. You can always check our webpage at www.in.gov/ISP for tips for seasonal travel.
Again, just a reminder to everyone out there, be sure not to tailgate or pass when unnecessary. Just respect the farm vehicles going about their way. Don't do anything risky or dangerous, because if you harm someone else or yourself, it's really just not worth it.
Again, if you're looking for more information on general travel tips and safety, you can go to our website at www.in.gov/ISP or contact our non-emergency number at 765-778-2121.
All right. Thank you, Sergeant Scott Keegan, for joining me here today. Guys, be sure to stick around, because right after this ad, we'll be back for yet another interview.
The WEEM Morning Show is on 91.7 WEEM every Tuesday through Friday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Make sure you tune in to listen to Bella Myers
and Kennedy Quinn talk about everything that has to do with the first half of the day. 91.7 WEEM.
This is WEEM Weekly. I'm Parker Dean here, sitting down with
Helena Pauly
and Megan Kogel.
And so, you know, both of you are in FFA, so give it like a brief description of what you do.
So I'm the vice president of FFA, and basically my job is to back up the president and kind of work with him to get things going and kind of set the structure of a meeting or a chapter event, funtivity, things like that.
I'm one of the members in FFA, so like what I do is I usually help like decorate things that need to be done or set up things and just help whatever needs to be done.
So yeah, that's nice. And I am, you know, there's a lot of things around FFA, because when we did the freshman fun day, because I'm the president and you'll have my interview later on in the show probably. And so, you know, there's a lot of things, like when I say FFA, people are like, oh, farmers.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thing that they think of. They never think of like what we actually do, like mm-hmm. the parades and stuff like that. So what do you guys do in FFA, I should say? Like activities.
Well, so my way of describing FFA is not that it's necessarily just for farmers. There's so many things that are tied into ag. I mean, things that I can't even, you know, think of right now. But when you're in FFA, you just keep learning, teach other people. For me, I've kind of grown in the club, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we all have
exactly
sense of like,
it's a really good learning experience,
yeah.
Especially when you go out and do things like when we go to contests and different things like that. That's a good learning experience.
And I've always tried to, like, advocate, because soon we'll have the National FFA Convention here in Indianapolis. And I always try to point out, like, FFA is for meeting all different types of people. I mean, others have other reasons for being an FFA other than, oh, I want to be a future farmer of America. No, that's kind of run into the ground now. I mean, FFA is more of a club. You meet the kind of people that you want to be around and, like, I know for me, I have a future in the trades. So there's a couple other kids in that class I've talked to that have the same future. And we've talked about just the agricultural based stuff, how we grew up in ag and how it's evolved.
Yeah.
So I guess that's another part.
It is. It's
like more of, you know, it's the growing community.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds, but she did mention National FFA Convention. So how do you personally think about convention?
I mean,
or just give, like, what is convention, I should say?
It's basically where a bunch of people from, like, all over come to,
like, the states,
yeah,
and
the
stuff
states
like that.
And, like, stuff, and everyone just meets up, and then they just do a bunch of different activities, and they all meet each other, and I think that's a good experience, because, like, different people have different perspectives, so, like, you can see what other people do.
Yeah, that's true. Because I know personally that the national officers are already, like, planning this event out. And so I think they just started here, like, last week. So they got a lot of planning to do.
Yeah.
But, like, what's your favorite part about being an FFA?
Well, personally, my favorite part is, like I mentioned just a couple seconds ago, just the meeting people. I mean, I've met a bunch of my, what I hope to be, lifelong friends in FFA and had great conversations, and I just kind of feel like I fit in somewhere, you know, which I think that's a good thing about a club, but that's probably my favorite thing, helping others fit in, feeling like I fit in, and just having a good time.
Yeah, so especially, like, each year it seems like we gain a new member.
Yes.
And, like,
yes,
yeah,
it does.
You're like, yes, it does. But the thing, like, the difference between, like, people that's been in there for 3 or 4 years until, like, a person being in there for 1 year, mm-hmm. it's different because they don't know. They're still on that thinking mind, oh, this is for farmers. And,
yeah.
Like, you have to, like, I don't know, tweak that to make them think, oh, wow, there's a lot of different, like, activities. And you mentioned, like, competitions.
Mm-hmm.
So what competitions have you done recently or planning on to do?
We actually just got done with Hold a Culture Contest, and that was a pretty good experience because, like, it was kind of difficult, but at the same time, it wasn't. It was a good experience. There was a lot of people there, and you learn a lot of different things, especially with how that day went. Like, there wasn't a lot of talking, but then you can also still see how other people do.
Yeah, that's true. Especially when they did that, what was it, 50-minute break?
Yes.
Yeah, that was crazy. Because I took a break and I walked out of the room. Well, when I walked out of the room, this guy comes and he's like, I don't even know what I'm doing, like, at all. Like, he had no idea what in the world he was doing plants-wise. Like, he couldn't identify, mm-hmm. like, flowers, like, anything. And mm-hmm. so I was like, okay. And he goes, well, my friend dragged me into this FFA. And I asked him, I was like, a friend did. And he goes, yeah. And I said, what have you thought about? And he wasn't those people that are like, oh, I didn't think they were for farmers. He was like, well, I knew there was a lot of activities in mm-hmm. there. So I was just wondering, like, when somebody asks you about what FFA is, how do you, like, perceive that to somebody without saying it's for farmers, I guess you should say?
I mean, like, how do you tell them what it is?
Yeah.
I mean, I just try to explain that it's not just the name. You know, like, they say you can't judge something by its title, or, like, don't judge the book by its cover. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about FFA. Like, yeah, the FFA stands for Future Farmers of America. I think most people know that, but it's all over just agriculture. And like I said earlier, agriculture is a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I could go into detail, but
I mean, talk forever about everything about agriculture if you really wanted to. But, like, you know, everybody thinks of FFA differently. And so talking about, like, competitions, activities, what do we, like, what, as a chapter, I guess we should say, like, what's our plans of continuing, like, parties wise can you give, like, of what we do later on in the year?
So later on in this year, we'll do our, I guess you could say, annual fall party.
Yeah.
Which is where we'll get together and
we'll just have a
really
bunch of
just
fun.
Just hang out and kind
of
get a break from contests and kind of the regular meetings. We always try to spice them up and make them fun, but it's always in the same room. Hopefully our fall party can be away from where we've been all year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. But, you know, the fall party is like, I don't know, you have that competition like horticulture, mm-hmm. and then you have national convention. And I think it's just a nice, like, relief break before everything else starts.
Oh, yeah.
Because once it comes, like, after the fall party, then it don't stop. Like
it doesn't,
especially
no.
for me, because it's just like boom, 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 like competitions after competition.
Yeah.
But, like, after, like, how, I guess, for competitions and stuff like that and having people maybe interested in that, how can they, like, reach out if they wanted to join? Even though I personally know this question.
Well,
I'm just going to ask you for the fun of it.
Well, I mean, I always try to be an open book. If you come and talk to me, I'll tell you, you know,
yeah,
what we're doing or how you could be involved. How, and it's realistically just kind of showing up to a meeting. If, you know, you want to know when the next one is so you can go. I mean, ask Parker, ask me, talk to Megan. I mean,
it's like
Miss Williams.
Yes.
Too. You could
and we do
go
have
talk
social
to Miss Williams
media also.
Yes,
we usually post on social media when we have a meeting or something.
So we, yeah, Instagram. We got Remind. We got. I think we. What else do we have? We have Twitter, but we don't post on that a lot.
No, I don't think she's keeping up with the Twitter. So I guess we
yeah,
really
because
don't.
Usually Instagram and our Facebook are linked,
yeah, we do
so like
Facebook.
It's
yeah.
really easy for posting. But after everything that we talked about, what you look forward to future FFA? Like, what are you going to take from FFA right now and take into your future?
For me personally, it'll just be the friendships and the knowledge I've gained. And I mean, I'm trying to do as much as I can this year. I'm a junior, but I'm going to graduate at the end of this year, class of 23. So I'm trying to make the most of this year and set kind of an expectation and like examples for next year's president, vice president, just members too. Cause I want to make it fun. I want to make the club fun so that, you know, more people know like this is, you're welcome to be here. You're welcome to join in on the fun, join in on the laughs, you know, have a good time. It's not for any one specific person. That's my hope is that we gain more members and they gain the knowledge of this is not just for farmers.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
So what do you have to say? Like, what is your biggest takeaway?
I think it's mostly like the friendships and what you all learn. And for next year, I plan on trying to be part of like the
officers team.
Officer team, yeah. And I think it's with the new the officers that are here now, like they're just showing me on how to do it, on what to do. And I think that's a good experience to learn.
Yeah. And especially because like last year I did the national convention had tons of like workshops.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went to like 7 or 8 of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I went like back to back to back to back to back. And so it wasn't that I was, some of them were like, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't want to learn about bees.
Yeah.
But I went because, you know, I wasn't the leader technically.
There is such thing as a bee farm. You can harvest some bees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, I guess you harvest the honey.
I spent
but
a whole like hour learning about bees at that thing. It was like a workshop and a beehive from this university came and talked about bees.
I will say those are, granted, last year I did not go to very many.
Yeah.
I think I went to 2 total. But when I did go, I did find myself engaging with a lot of other people from different chapters. So another thing I wanted to say was the people who go to convention are kids from all 50 states plus Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands.
And that's a lot.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because, like, I have pictures on my phone of, like, just the whole, like, hall just flooded with.
Oh, and
jackets.
Do you remember, like, going into Lucas Oil to be there for the first session? I mean,
yeah.
Just the feeling of it, like, seeing all those
uh-huh.
people and everything.
Because all the, yeah, they're, like, everywhere. Then there's, like, a DJ in the corner. There's a lot of different things that go into convention.
And just making you feel welcome. That's really one of my biggest takeaways from National Convention last year. oh, hey, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to make it a fun environment, you know? Yeah.
And they had a bunch of colleges, like schools, programs. I mean, they literally had it all there.
Nah, so, the expo was...
Yeah, that was crazy. I think I spent a total of like 2 days doing that.
I thought we were going to talk about money, and I was like, well, I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
No. But I'm super glad that we got to talk about FFA and our futures in the ag industry. And thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917WEEM.org or anywhere podcasts can be found.